If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 13 with me this morning. I want to talk to you about dirty feet. Dirty feet. John chapter 13. Glad to have these scouts today. Chipper, thank you for what all you guys do. You guys look mighty sharp in uniform. And we're proud of you. Glad to have you with us. John chapter 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who it was who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done to you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." The place is the setting is Jerusalem, and it is the night of the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus does something that night. He really takes the place of a slave. You see, in ancient Palestine, and by the way, some people say when he did that night that he was setting up an ordinance, like an ordinance of the Last Supper or the ordinance of baptism. And we only have two ordinances in the Baptist church. I know that in some churches they have, and the Catholics have seven different ordinances. We only have recognized two. Some people think, Steve, Jesus was setting up an ordinance in the church. And some of you have been, how many of you have been to a foot washing service? I have never attended that, but I've been told that it's a moving thing. I do not believe that's what he was doing. And it is a great act of humility that Jesus, he took the place of servant, got down, and he who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he who could have had every right to say, you get the towel and the basin to come wash my feet. But he humbled himself and to do that, the work of a slave. In ancient Palestine, the people, of course, didn't wear shoes like we wear. They wore sandals, and their feet would get dirty with dust and dirt and soot. And so when they come into a house, and they didn't wear shoes in the house. And so it was customary that everybody, Michael, would wash their feet. They'd have maybe in a pretty well-to-do home, they'd have a slave who would have that basin of water and a towel, and you come in the house and they wash your feet. Now, one reason I believe, Peggy, this happened was before they went in there to have the Last Supper that night, they had the disciples were having an argument. You know what the argument was about? It was about who would be the greatest. Who would be sit on the right hand and the left hand in the kingdom? Who would be the vice president and the secretary of state when Jesus came into his kingdom? And Jesus taught him that night, Jerry, he said, "The greatest among you shall be the servant of all." And then he got in, humbled himself, and washed their feet. Well, I want to make this morning, I want to say that, then he comes, the gist of the message is, though, that he comes to Simon Peter. He's washing their feet, and he comes to old Simon, and Simon said, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, not mine." He knew what a no good, low down fisherman he was, sinful man. He said, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." And then he said, well, Lord, if that's the case, if my relationship to you depends on you washing my feet, then don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head. Wash me all over. I need a bath. And Jesus said, no. He said, you don't need a bath. You've already had a bath, but you do have dirty feet. He said, and so I would say to you, you know, when we come to Christ, He does bathe us. He cleanses us. And you know what he's talking about, dirty feet. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm talking about a three-letter word. It's called sin. And he said, and when we come to Jesus, when we come to know him, we are bathed. And he does cleanse us. And we are washed whiter than snow. The Bible says our sin is buried deeper than the deepest sea. Our sin is as he puts our sin as far away from him as the east is from the west. Which one of you scouts knows how long, how far that is? Which one of you leaders know that? We don't know how far that is. It's infinite, is right. It's infinite. He bears our sins. And so we've all been washed. Everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, those listening by radio and television, if you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, you have been washed. And you don't need a bath. But I tell you what you do need. You need your feet washed. Because I do know this. I do know. I'm going to make 3 points this morning real quick. I got about 11 minutes to do this. And I believe I can do it. I'll try. How many of y'all believe I can do it? You know I can't do it, but I'll try. All right. Here's the first point I want to make is this. Here's the first point. Christians get dirty feet. How many of y'all believe that? Christians get dirty feet. We do. And because, we've all sinned. And, I'm not talking about physical dirt here. I'm talking about the dirt of sin. We live in a sinful world, don't we? And everywhere you see, there's a sinful. Somebody said, not since Manhattan was sold. How much was it sold for? $24. So you get a history lesson when you come to this church. I bet even a Mississippi State man would know the answer to that question, wouldn't he? Not since Manhattan was sold for $24 has dirt been so cheap. You see it on every newsstand. You can't go to the grocery store and not see pornography. And I tell you, we live in a dirty world and there are sinful impulses everywhere. And so I want to tell you, Christians do. We need a bath. And what he's talking about here, I think, is what same thing talked about in the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. What he's talking about, just like we need to come daily and ask God for a daily bread, we need to come every day and ask for a cleansing from our sins. And I seldom, Charlotte, you probably never heard me pray a prayer with you, pray a prayer in this pulpit. That's the last thing I say, I believe, Mike, every time is, God, forgive our sin. I hardly ever, and see you tell you, and Darcy tell you, I never pray at home. I pray, God, forgive our sin. We'd have prayed that because we get dirty feet. Get dirty feet. And Christian sin. Now, I believe in eternal security. What he's telling Peter was, you don't need to get saved all over again. You've been washed. But we do sin. Christians do sin. And when you sin, you need to get your feet washed. You need to, in other words, come to Christ for his forgiveness and cleansing. Because Christians do sin and mess up. You go back and look at any character in the Bible. You can start with David, King David. Why did he need to get his feet washed? What sins did he commit? How about let's try an adultery and murder? And then let's go back further than that. Go back to the man that God chose to preserve the human race. Who was that? Well, Adam. He started with Adam, but who preserved the human race? Noah is right. Noah's right. And God used Noah. But yet, when he came through the deliverance of the flood, what did Noah do? He got drunk in his tent and did some disgraceful things with his own daughters. And then go back to Father Abraham. My great, 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 great granddaddy of all of us. And God said, through you and all will all the earth be blessed. And so, what did he do? What was his sin? What was his dirty feet? Well, at one time he went down to Egypt. And he was afraid of Pharaoh. Afraid Pharaoh was going to fall in love with his wife. Anybody remember her name? Her name was Sarah. And Abraham told a lie about it. He said, what did he say? He said, she's my sister. And that's pretty good. Really, it was a backhanded compliment, Jerry, because she was 65 years old. And it wasn't a beauty shop in sight. And he was afraid that old Pharaoh was going to fall in love with his wife, and he told a lie about it. So I want to tell you, the first point is this. Christians do sin. We can sin, and we do sin. I worship was, we used to have a joint service in a little church on 5th Sunday night. We're going to start doing that. I hope we're going to start doing that with Hillcrest Baptist Church soon. I've invited their pastor to do that. But I want to tell you, we would, was that me? Anybody else feel shocked? Well, okay. We had a group of people, a denomination. They taught sinless perfection. And I kind of had a hard time with that. I said, nobody lives. I don't believe that. It's too hard. Nobody can live up there. Nobody can do that. I didn't believe that, Lee. I didn't believe anybody could do that. But I tell you, I was wrong. As I look back on that, I was wrong to criticize anybody trying to live a sinlessly perfect life. I don't know. I don't believe that's capable. But you're wrong to criticize anybody that's trying to live for the Lord like that. But let me say this. First point is this, that Christians do get dirty feet. Here's number two, and that is what happens when Christians get dirty feet. How many of y'all think you get away with it? I don't think you get away with it. You lose. You lose. You can't sin to get away with it. And I tell you what happened. The answer to this second point is in Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, because the Lord disciplines those He loves and punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. In other words, if a person thinks, I'm going to sin and get by with it, he don't belong to the Lord. And if you think you sin and you get by with it and God don't punish you, then you're not really a child of God. Amen. And I used to think this. I think, you know, how many of y'all ever heard this said? That a parent would say, I do it because I... That's right. I knew my parents loved me an awful lot. My teachers. I was a well-loved guy. I wish they didn't love me so much. And I tell you, when my daddy, when he whipped me, I was born and raised over in Promised Land, over in Mississippi, North Mississippi. But anyway, my daddy wore a belt. He's a farmer, dirt farmer. My daddy wore a belt. And what he'd do, he would grab me, take that left hand and grab me, and he'd get that belt. He could pull that belt off just one motion. He'd just pull it right off. And he would do that. I wasn't going to do that, really. But he would do it. He'd grab me, and we'd start going around and around. Him on one end of that belt and me on the other end. But I learned something, Joyce, almost too late. And that was the further you got out of, the further you got away from my dad trying to pull away from, the worse it hurt, man. He'd get more leverage on that belt, you know. And so I learned this, Colonel, I learned that if I'd get close in to him, you know, if I get in close to him, it wouldn't hurt nearly as bad. And you know, spiritually there's a principle there, and you know what it is? I'd get up to him, I'd say, Dad, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Y'all ever tried that? How many of y'all ever tried that? Every one of you have. I said, I love you, I love you. And you know, I want to tell you something else. That is a spiritual principle. If when we fail God, when we sin, we all do. If we'll just say, Lord, I love you and I want to get close to you again. Now, if you don't do this, let me tell you what this is my third point. My third point is, what was the first point? Y'all listen to me this morning? Christians get dirty feet. I want you to remember this. Number two, what happens when you get dirty feet? What's the answer to it? God will whip you. God will take you to the woodshed. And if God don't take you to the woodshed, then that probably means what? That means you're headed to hell. You don't even belong to Him. But if you're His child, the Bible says He's going to whip you. Now here's the last point, and that is how God deals with dirty feet. Number one, sickness. I can prove this in the Bible. I don't believe anybody gets sick. It's not because of sin. But the Bible said, and I'm going to just paraphrase. I'm not going to read it. But it says over in 1 Corinthians 11:28, for this cause many among you, he's writing to the church shipwreck at Corinth, and they've had all kind of problems, divisions, they've had immorality, had all kind of things. He writes to them and he says, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, Mike, and he said, anybody that eats the Lord's Supper flippantly, he said, for this cause many among you are sick and weak. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe everybody that gets sick is not because of sin. I'd have to put a dear lady that I lived with for 39 years. I don't believe that for one minute. You'd be dead wrong if you said everybody that's sick is sick because of sin. I don't believe that. Job's friends came. Job's comforters. Remember that story? Three comforters. John, they came and they told Job, they tried to figure out, said, what have you done that God has punished you like this? They made that mistake, saying, you must have done something wrong because you're sick and something happened. That was wrong, but I want to tell you this, but I do believe this, Nick. I believe that sometimes we'd probably be surprised if we knew it, that sickness sometimes tied to sin in a lot of cases. And I can give you a lot of case studies of that. I know some people that have ruined their health. I guarantee you that sickness is tied, sometimes it is tied to sickness of the soul. That's one consequence. That's one way God deals with it. Here's another way God deals with it. Another way is loss of fellowship and joy. Psalm 51, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I don't believe you lose the Holy Spirit. I don't believe you get saved one day and you sin, got to get saved all over again. That's what he's telling Peter here, really. He said, you've been washed one time. You don't need to be washed again, but you do need to have your feet washed. I mean, you don't need a bath, but you need your feet washed. One thing you lose, though, sin will cause to do is lose fellowship with God, lose our joy. I tell you something. If anybody here this morning, I tell people, I've told people working with me before, and I say it again, if people are not having fun, they ought to be doing something else. If you're not having fun in what you're doing, really, now you may be in a situation where you can't do that. You say, well, I got to have this job. I need to work. And I know, but I would tell you, but in the big picture, you ought to enjoy life. It ought to be fun. And really, in the Christian life, it ought to be fun to be a Christian.
Amen.
Y'all think I'm crazy sometimes, don't you?
Nope.
All the time? But really, it's fun to be a Christian. It ought to be a joy. And there ought to be a thrill to it.
Amen.
And sin, but I tell you this, sin will take that joy from you. And I tell you this, today if you're here and you don't feel like you're as close to God as you used to be, guess who's moved?
We have.
Guess who's moved? Third thing I want to say is, this is how God deals with dirty feet. It hinders prayer. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Bible says this, that husbands and wives are to dwell together as heirs of the grace of life, that their prayers be not hindered. Now, me and C, I'm going to tell y'all some inside information. Y'all won't tell it though, will you? We hadn't had a good fuss in 9 months. I hope it's a long way off. Probably will come, but most, you know, it's just hard to conceive the fact that somewhere down the road, it's not going to be. Thad, don't you say yes. Don't I see you. Don't be counseled back there. But I tell you this. I've known husbands and wives that fuss and fight, though, and then try to pray together. It don't work. You can't fuss and fight. The Bible says husbands and wives dwell together in unity, and you can't really pray. I don't believe prayers get too high if a husband and wife fighting all the time, do you? And I want to tell you that sin in your life will hinder your prayers. And then the last thing I want to say is that dirty feet, it could be fatal. Because see that verse in 1 Corinthians 11 says, 1 Corinthians 11:30, it says, some are sick and weak. And then it says, and John, it says, others sleep. And you know what sleep is in the Bible? It's death. It is. And that's what Paul wrote to him. You can look at it. It's not what Sonny said, but he said, for this cause, many of you sleep. No, he'd take them to heaven. I've seen this before. I can't remember if I ever had to leave a place. My kids misbehaved so bad, I had to take them, go home. But I've seen people do that. I've seen kids misbehave. You guys, y'all look like good soldiers down here. He had it right. You do look. But you know, and y'all probably have been with people that kids that they would misbehave so bad, their parents would be embarrassed, and they just say, hey, we're going home. We're not saying we're going home. You know what? I believe that can happen to people. I believe that could happen to a Christian. And God say, you have embarrassed you. It's just time to go home. And the party may not be over, but we're going home. I can show you two places in the Bible where it happened. One of them is Acts 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, that early church, you know, they were having a love offering Sunday, like we're going to have next Sunday for the vineyard. And they had a love offering Sunday. And had a man and his wife. The name Bonsil was Ananias and Sapphira. And they said, we sold some land. We're going to bring and give all the money. Only the problem was what? They didn't give all the money. They wanted the people to think they were giving all the money. And when they came in the church, Peter said, how much did you give? And they said, yeah, we're giving it all. We love the Lord. We're going to give it all. And Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit like that? It was your land. You didn't have to give it. You didn't have to even give a penny. Why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost like that? And the Bible says he fell dead right there in the church. And then behind him, his wife came a little later. And I don't know, they might arrange this so they both look good, you know. They both get a lot of accolades. But she came in later. And she told him the same story. And guess what happened to her? She fell dead. They went home before the party was over. Didn't have to be like that. I give you another one. And C and I were talking about this a day or two ago. About a guy by the name of Moses. If you turn to the last chapter of Deuteronomy, how old was Moses when he died? Anybody know? It's a coin question. I don't have any on me, but I'll give him a car keys if you know it. Who said that? I was only kidding, Chester. He's 120 years old. But you know the bad thing about it was? The Bible says if you turn over, and I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy 38 is the last chapter, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy. If I can find it. It says in Deuteronomy 34:5. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old. Listen to this. When he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. What does it say to you? Sound like me, he died ahead of time, don't it? He died a healthy man, 120 years old. He didn't have to go. So I want to just tell you this: how some ways that God deals. How does God do it? I gave you four ways. I said, God deals with dirty feet through sickness, through loss of fellowship, through hindered prayer, and sometimes the loss of life. Now, what you do about dirty feet? The answer is, 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But the Bible says, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Been a preacher for a long time, and sometimes I say, God, I blew it so bad again. I have to go to the Lord. Sometimes, Chipper, and the hardest thing about being your preacher, you know what the hardest thing is? The hardest thing is I walk on these feet of clay right here and face everything just like you do. And I feel like Peter did. So, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And I say this sometimes, Peggy. I say, God, I ought to be doing better. I can do better than this. I'm a preacher and I know the Bible and I failed you. But I tell you, when I confess my sins, when I confess those sins and He forgives me and washes my dirty feet, He'll give me back my song again. I thought I'd sing this song today. And then I thought I'd better have it. I've had them looking for it. I almost did in the first service. And you know, the song I wanted, what was the name of it, Carol? Yes. I know my Redeemer lives. You got the music. Who got the music? I know my Redeemer lives. Well, I'm not going to do it. Hey, come to the Super Bowl tonight. I'll sing it. But I tell you another thing that was on my heart was, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I'm going to sing that in one time too. But I'm going to close by saying this. Jesus said, not only do I need to wash your feet, you need to wash other people's feet. Do it to others. And I tell you the answer to that is Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And you can paraphrase that by saying, be ye kind, tenderhearted, washing one another's feet. Some of you know, I had an issue with a staff member this past year. But I'm glad to tell you that about 6 weeks, 2 months ago, he pulled up out here on this parking lot and we embraced. And I want you to know, Joe Preacher, I'm not going to have to walk down the other side of the street from Hallelujah Boulevard for anybody. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have, and this morning, if you're holding a grudge against somebody, you need to have your feet washed. Don't let that happen. Talk to my mother's in Orlando, Florida today. She's for her 90th birthday. She's 90 years young today. And she had one of the dreams she had was to go to the Holy Lands. And it says she'll never get to go. But my sister said, come to Orlando, Florida. They have a thing called the Holy Land Experience. Any of y'all have been there? I've been there. It's wonderful. It's the ancient city and a scale model. But she's down there to see that tomorrow. But talking to my sister, and by the way, somebody else, Stephanie Quiz, Bill told me that was a special birthday. Is today your day? Today? I don't believe you're 60 years old. Is that what you said, Scott? All right, hey, look. All right, I'm going to close by saying this. But she's down there for her birthday with two of my sisters. And I talked to my sister last night. And she said, honey, Mama's getting ready to go. She's getting ready to go. She said, she used that part of your Christmas money to have her Bible rebound for her preacher's son. So she's getting ready to go. I want to ask you, are you getting ready to go? Won't you come today and say, Lord, please wash my feet. Every day, God, wash my feet. Forgive my sins. And the same Jesus that washed Peter so long ago, He'll wash yours day by day. And He said, and we ought to wash one another's feet.